In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, we took a week break again, but apparently, according to Mike, our numbers are up again, so yay for people listening.
I still don't understand this numbers game, man. Like, I don't know if we have to be getting more. We've got to be getting them from some platform, but I still don't know what they are. But to all of you guys that are listening, thank you so much. Seriously.
Thank you. Really, thank you. We're glad that there are actually people listening to us. I am, anyway. Mike's had people listen to him a bunch of times. He's done concerts, and people have shown up and actually, you know, bought merchandise from him, had him sign things, got tattoos of his various bands on, just one of his bands, but still got tattoos on them. I don't think there's any Digital Havoc tattoos out there, are there?
I am the only one I know with a Digital Havoc tattoo.
Which is appropriate.
I have a tattoo for both of the bands that I've been in.
I have two tattoos for one of the bands that you've been in.
Well, technically in another band that I've been in, I probably shouldn't have a tattoo of, because it would probably raise a lot of questions if I did.
Are we talking about your tramp stamp?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, for a very short amount of time, Mike moonlighted in the band Crazy Town. He's got a butterfly right above
his buttocks. Hear about, okay, this is funny. Did you actually hear about what happened with Crazy Town? They were in the music news like this week. I say really? That loosely. I say that very loosely. It weren't really in the music news.
I literally just pulled that one out of my ass because I was thinking, what would be the funniest thing for him to have as a tramp stamp? And okay. I thought butterfly, that would be hilarious. A gigantic butterfly right above his ass.
On the small of it, yep.
And all I could think of was Crazy Town and the stupid butterfly song that everybody absolutely loved. And then when we went to Ozfest to see them, nothing else sounded anything like that song. And they were almost booed off stage. It was hilarious.
Oh my God, that's great. Okay, so here's what happened with Crazy Town. Quick synopsis. They fired their drummer. The thing about Crazy Town, though, is the fact that there's nobody originally in the band aside from the singer. So the singer fired the drummer. And the singer, from all accounts that I can check right now, has to be obviously in charge of their social media. Because Crazy Town, the band, either on their Instagram or something like that, I think it was their Instagram because it wasn't Twitter, they went off on this drummer that they fired. The drummer hadn't even put out a statement yet. This guy turns around and says shit like, oh, he was only in the band because he was dealing cocaine, and he was 4 years in the band. He didn't know any of the words to Butterfly, and I'm sitting there going, he's the fucking drummer. He just needs to know the beat. Could he play the fucking songs? Yes, then he was doing his fucking job. He's not an original member. Is learning the lyrics to Butterfly a job requirement for Crazy Town?
I mean, does that mean I get a job in Crazy Town? Because I still remember.
I guess
those
if you want to, they're looking for a drummer. But it sounds like might be a rough gig.
not really, because A, I can't play the drums, and B, I have standards. That is well below my standards.
I am one to try to avoid shit talking people, and I'm not trying to like.
I'm not.
I know you're not. There's a friend of mine that actually did sound for them when they came back through Sacramento. And he said that they were one of the worst bands he has ever worked with in his life. Like,
oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And it wasn't. But the thing is, he said that the only person that was the issue was the fucking singer, not anybody else in the band. So the band members were fine. So that apparently is what by accounts that I have received so far. Including the words of the one who is in charge of the social media account, who apparently must have a cocaine problem, because otherwise they wouldn't have mentioned that. Dude, that guy has to be fucking, 45 now? What are you doing? What are like airing out your dirty laundry on your band's official social media account, talking about the reason why you hired a band member is because they were a cocaine dealer 4 years ago? That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I mean,
I've seen dumber, though, but
No, go back and watch the butterfly video again, because like that's the only video they ever had in like any kind of major rotation. Those guys are like, they're like trailer trash royalty. Okay, that's why they do that. This is, they're just living up to exactly what they look like, and for the most part, the fan base that they cultivated, who again were
they're definitely part of that. Like they would, they're that openers for Kid Rock type of crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even necessarily call them royalty.
I mean,
maybe they're.
Yeah, as far as trailer trash is concerned. They're part of that. Would, they, I thought they might be. You know,
King of the trailer.
They're dukes or lords. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I could see trailer. I could see a trailer trash duke.
Yeah, that's. I'd put them. I'd put
it
them
doesn't
in
take a lot to be. No, I give him less credit. It doesn't take a lot to be a lord. You can own a 1x1 really. Square of land in Scotland and be a lord now.
Exactly. So they could be. You know, they could be lords of the trailer park. It's fine.
Lord. Oh my God, that is an album title.
Actually, that's a tour title. You get like
a tour title, yeah. Lords of the Trailer Park.
Yeah,
summer 2023.
Kid Rock as the main band. You know, the main performer on that. Lords of the Trailer Park, Kid Rock, Crazy Town. Gosh, who else you want to throw in there? Okay. I could probably come up with a bunch. I just don't know enough popular music.
Oh my God! What the fuck is the name of that band?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I can't remember. I actually went and saw them live in Chico, in like a small club. I was dating some girl who was super into them, and I
probably not gonna be the right one.
What the fuck? I'm trying to think of that they do the song "Bartender, Bartender." I really did it this time.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that I'm trying to think. It was like those guys are like the openers right there, man.
I met
those guys and they're all super chill. They were self-managed and they were doing the whole thing on their own. Like, to be real, they were some of the nicest fucking people I'd ever met. And I can't remember the name of the damn band.
You can meet nice people in a trailer park. It's all right.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, yes, you're correct. It doesn't mean they're bad people, man. I'm just saying there's a culture. Huh? There's a culture to it.
Yeah. There's definitely a culture to it. But anyway,
sitting at the bar and the name of the band is Rehab. I had to Google it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
But no, like I was saying, we took a week off. There were some scheduling issues. Different things are going on. We tried to schedule for a Friday night. Mike, got some work. Friday night would have been an interesting night, as I told Mike. We then decided to try to do it on Thursday, but there was just so many things going on, especially for, my Friday. My Friday had a lot going on. And so we ended up not being able to do a show last week. And like I said, Friday would have been neat. I mean, Mike got work and Mike's got to work because, you know, money is good. We, you know, I like money. Yep.
Yep.
Friday would have been fun because Friday, afternoon, I went to, I wasn't sure exactly how much work I was going to get done, but I went to the dentist to have some work done. And I was kind of hoping to do the Friday podcast with me still recovering from dental work, half, you know, numbed up mouth, sounding, you know, idiotic and stupid and half drunk while being completely sober and in pain. Didn't work out that way. However, my dental experience was absolutely horrific. I am still a week removed from the dental experience dealing with pain. Mike has been blessed with seeing the pictures of the, I was able to get, the teeth that were removed. The dentist gave them to me to take home. I think this will be something that I regularly send, you know, like, I think it's Jimmy Kimmel, right? Jimmy Kimmel regularly, has this like joke feud with like Matt Damon, right?
Yes.
And Matt Damon will show up in things all the time.
Yeah.
And like, it isn't... I think it's Paul Rudd with either Jimmy Kimmel or Conan. I think it may have been Conan.
It was Conan.
Would come on. He would come on to promote a movie and he'd be like, oh yeah, here's a clip from the movie. And it was always a clip from Mac and Me.
Yes.
that he would show. This picture may be a recurring thing that I send because it's like it's a little medical pouch with a bloody molar in it. And then a couple of shards of teeth that they had to pull out that were teeth of mine that were broken. And they had to cut around in my gum line to pull these teeth out right near at the front of my mouth. And, jeez. You know, it's still, they're still bloody when you put them in the package. And so I've already sent this picture to Mike twice. This is something I think I'm going to haunt him with on a regular basis.
I'd rather not. Just thanks, though.
No, it's gonna happen, bro. It's literally just gonna be like, hey, dude, I got a pick for you, and you're not gonna know if it's like something cool, like, you know, another avocado thing that that my wife has found to take a picture of me with in the store. By the way, she finally agreed this year. She said, sure, we'll do couples costumes. I've been wanting to do a couples costume or family costume for years now. I was recently talking with announcer Scott, our friend announcer Scott for the Decennial Chronicles, and him and his wife and their child have regularly done family costumes for Halloween. They're fantastic at doing family costumes. And not this year, apparently. Their youngest child is apparently really into Transformers this year. So that child is going as a Transformer this year, which I applaud.
Nice.
But apparently they did the characters from Titanic, Jack and whatever Kate Winslet's character is in Titanic. They did that one year. The kid was a baby, so the kid was an iceberg. And another relative was there with them and was the door that they were that they were perched on.
Yeah.
At the end of Titanic. Fantastic. When he explained that costume to me, I'm like, that's great. That's amazing. That's so beautiful. Rose is Kate Winslet's character's name. So yeah, you have Jack and Rose. You have the baby is the iceberg. And then,
oh my God,
a relative dressed as the door.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. He's explaining this costume to me and I'm like, I hate Titanic, but thumbs up on the costume. And I've been trying to get my wife to do family costume for years for Halloween. We got enough people. We could totally pull off Wizard of Oz because my wife could be the Wicked Witch, which she would love. My daughter could be Dorothy. In case people don't know, and I haven't said enough, I do have three children in total, two boys and a girl. So my daughter could be Dorothy. I'm a perfect fit for the Cowardly Lion. Absolutely perfect fit for that. My oldest child could be the Tin Man. He'd like that. The middle child, he's kind of thin and gangly. He'd be perfect for the Scarecrow. Boom. We have a set thing, and we have the grandmother who lives in the house. We'll just dress her up as a flying monkey. Fantastic. We're set. Be a perfect. I mean, I've considered doing that as opposed to trying to go the route of any Star Wars related stuff, which we could do too. My daughter would make a perfect Rey. She'd be fantastic as Rey.
Oh yeah.
I'm at the point where I could play the old Luke. No issue there.
Oh dude.
We definitely, again, oldest child, he would play Kylo Ren. If we're going for the newer stuff, he'd totally play Kylo Ren. Wouldn't have a problem with it. Dressing my wife up as Leia and me being Luke, a little weird, but whatever. It's just costumes. and then, The younger boy, he could be anything you wanted to be. He could be Chewbacca. He could be we could put a ball around him, make him BB-8, whatever. I could think of so many. We could go old school Star Wars with it. We could do so many different combinations of that. But she said, you know, every time she's no. It's like, fine. Well, this year she said she finally found a couple's costume for us. We're sitting there watching TV. Oh, I found a couple's costume for us. We can do a couple's costume finally. It'll make you so happy. I'm like, oh my God, what is it? Let me hear it. And I'm thinking it's something from one of the various TV shows that she watches that are, you know, only relevant to people who know those TV shows. No. She found a couple's avocado costume.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, couple's avocado costume. I said no. I said, if anything, why don't you do the avocado toast? Because then you'll want to dress like the toast, and I'm not letting you be the toast. Like, fine. She goes, I don't want to be toast. We can both be avocados. I'm like, I hate you. I really do.
I think that totally works. I'm down on it. Tell her I say you guys should do it.
I'm gonna make you. I'm gonna have you dress up as the feral child from freaking Mad Max. That's what I'll have you do.
Hey, fuck you.
We can do Chuck Norris.
I totally can do that.
You can probably easily do Chuck Norris.
You mean Chunk Norris?
Okay. You want to say it that way? I don't know. I thought about.
I don't have the chest hair, man. I don't have the chest hair for Chuck Norris. You know what? I would probably just get a chest hair t-shirt and like a blue vest and Lone Wolf McQuaid that shit. I would probably just do that.
That would totally work.
No, I think it would totally work. I think that's a great... I have... It's funny because I have... we have costumes that we've wanted to use for a while. Yeah. I actually bought a full Riddler costume I haven't been able to use yet. Like full size with the fucking... the suit and tie Riddler. Not like the new Riddler. Suit and tie Riddler. Like,
so you're talking like the original Batman, the Adam West Batman Riddler.
Yeah, a lot more like Adam West Batman. Adam West Batman, maybe a little bit of animated series Riddler.
Okay. So more comic book Riddler, not
did
not
Carrey
to a
do
specific
the suit and tie? Did Jim Carrey do the suit and tie?
Kind of. He had a lot of different costumes in there, but it wasn't quite the... And actually, so the suit and tie is actually more comic book and more animated series, you're right, because in the Adam West Batman, he's just wearing a...
Classic Riddler was leotard. Classic Riddler was a full leotard and purple underwear.
Yep, back when comic book characters wore their underwear on the outside.
Yep, absolutely.
No, I having seen the Jack Black videos that were put out in during quarantine with him wearing shorts and cowboy boots dancing around, mm-hmm. I thought about that for a Halloween costume, but nobody wants to see that. I mean, if it's Jack Black, they're okay seeing it. Nobody wants to see me do that. I don't even want to see me do that. But I got a little bit of a shock at work when work told me, because, you know, office culture and... I do work on Mondays typically in the office, and Monday is Halloween. So, I was asking about it, and like, hey, what goes on in Halloween? Cause I haven't worked in an office setting ever. And I've worked in retail, and in retail, some nicer retail, smaller retail places, they'll let you dress up or, you know, let you have some fun. Not in any of the retail places I worked, cause I worked in the major conglomerate retail places. And so when you were at Blockbuster, you wore your Blockbuster shirt and your stupid freaking khakis every single day. when you worked at Home Depot, you wore a collared shirt and an orange freaking apron every single day.
Yep.
And so, you know, there was no, you couldn't really wear a costume because, you know, you could actually hurt yourself if you have to use any of the equipment that's there. There's saws. There's, you know, there's... forklifts. You can't be wearing costumes trying to use those things. But office culture is a whole different thing, and I understand that it's different. And so my supervisor's like, yeah, we do a potluck, we do a costume contest. There's prizes. I'm like, seriously? So do I have to dress up? No, but you're more than welcome to. And I'm like, oh man, if I tell my wife this, she's totally gonna be like, yes, you have to dress up. I'm like, well, I have like a, you know, those union suits, the zip up, like they're like kids, like little kids' footy pajamas that zip all the way up, but they're for adults to wear, like, you know, cheesy costumes. I have one that's a dragon. I'm like, I could be that. She's like, okay. I mean, I have masks and whatnot for various Star Wars things, but I don't have all the full costumes to go with it. So I have a Darth Maul mask, and I have a Darth Maul lightsaber, but I don't have a Darth Maul costume, nor do I have a Darth Maul figure. Him and I may be the same height, me and Ray Park, but I am not. I'm like two Ray Parks smashed together. I'm fat. He's not. But But I was just making sure everybody understood what I was talking about.
I like the setup. I love how the punchline is just explaining the joke.
Yeah. But I do have a kind of Gandalf-y wizard costume that I bought last year. That actually I screwed up last year. I believe we talked about it on the podcast. I really, really screwed up because other than the wrong kind of staff, I look like Gandalf when I'm wearing it, especially having a beard.
Right,
I don't have long hair or anything, but I look enough like Gandalf. And we're doing the trick-or-treating rounds, and from across the street I have somebody yelling at me, "Hey Gandalf! I took a test last week in college. What's going to happen? Or actually, am I going to do well on my test?" And my response? What was my response, Mike?
Well, it better be, "You shall not pass."
Yeah, but it wasn't. Because all I said was no, because I'm an idiot. I totally missed the moment. Absolutely missed the moment. I'm not going to miss it again. That's for damn sure. That guy, that was a beach ball.
That was
ball
a wonderful dude. That was a setup like a motherfucker. That's
so very much. And I just totally, it's like, I have a degree in theater.
No.
I know improv. Oh, I'm just worst ever. I learned from that mistake, though. I will be paying more attention next time. It's one of those things where, like, somebody asks you what shirt you're wearing, or they say they like your shirt, and you have to look down to see what shirt it is.
Yeah.
That was the moment. That's, of, like, I don't even remember what the fuck I'm wearing. He even called me the name, but I don't remember.
Gandalf.
Yeah. So I mentioned that I have that costume, and my supervisor's
that
like,
response.
Oh,
That response. No.
Yeah. That was all I had. So I mentioned
I
that I have that costume
that
to my supervisor, and my supervisor's like, "Oh yeah, with the beard, you'd be a perfect wizard. That's what you should be." So I'm apparently dressing as a wizard on Monday to go to work.
Okay.
In my office, sit at my desk as a wizard. I guarantee you though, if I have the hat, I have some nice, normally I have to take out my, my gauges in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
For work, I have to put like flesh tone looking ones in, so it doesn't look like I really have gauges, even though it's kind of obvious, but still. I have some Fibonacci swirl, clear Fibonacci swirled earrings that I can put in.
Nice.
So I'm going to put those in to get like the wizardy look. And like, I'm not necessarily Gandalf, I'm just a freaking wizard, but I got the full pointy hat and everything. So yeah, I'm going to waltz in there with the robe, the hat, the staff, and just kind of.
Nice.
Do my thing and maybe win a $20 gift card to Starbucks. I don't know. I don't know what the prizes are, but it doesn't matter. It's a costume contest, and I guess I'm now a part of it. But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So again, like I said, we took a week off for scheduling issues. Probably a good thing because of my dental experience. I did find something out, by the way, with this dental experience. As this is all happening, my wife is rewatching one of her various TV shows that she loves to watch. Apparently I have found out this is kind of an interesting thing. I think I've had this discussion with you before, but with the different media that we ingest, right? We
right.
talk about this all the time, the movies and the music and whatnot. We as the consumers of this, we often gravitate towards specific artists that speak to us in different ways, no matter which groups they happen to be with. Sometimes they move from different things, like speaking musically. Sometimes a musician will move from group to group, and we will gravitate and follow that musician just because of that specific pull from that person.
Yeah.
Example, I only like Black Sabbath when Ozzy was the singer. I don't like any other singers with Black Sabbath, and I like Ozzy by himself. Because Ozzy is kind of the sound that Ozzy specifically brings to music is what I like about him. Now I've loved the last few albums he's done where he's brought in a bunch of different musicians to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun hearing some of the different pieces of musicians. Another example, despite his personal politics near the end of his life, I've always been a fan of Meatloaf's music. But the thing is, I only really like Meatloaf when he is working with Jim Steinman. When Steinman writes the music and Meatloaf sings the music, it's a fantastic marriage of both of their abilities. Meatloaf writing his own music is kind of eh. The third Bat Out of Hell album, there's a few songs by Jim Steinman on there, but there's a bunch of songs by other very prolific songwriters and a bunch of musicians that were involved in that album. And it has a different feel to it than, Bat Out of Hell 1 and Bat Out of Hell 2, obviously, because both of those were completely Jim Steinman projects.
Right.
But it's interesting to see Meatloaf in the backdrop of you get a Jim Steinman song, and then you get a song that's written by, I can't think of her name. She's the one who wrote Don't Want to Miss a Thing that Aerosmith did. I can't think of her name. Very prolific songwriter. But you get all these different, you get a song with John 5 playing the guitar on it.
Oh, yeah.
You get a bunch of different things in that album that gives you a little bit different feel. A similar thing happens when you're dealing with movies, TV shows, things like that. It's one of the reasons I love to talk to people about the movies they like to watch, and you can get a feel for the lens they see movies through, oftentimes by who's involved in the movie making process.
Continuing real quick, just interjecting, I did look up who you were talking about, and holy shit, she's an incredible songwriter. This is Diane Warren is who you're talking
Diane
about.
Warren.
Dude, she wrote If I Could Turn Back Time, Because You Love Me, Celine Dion, How Do I Live, Leanne Rimes, obviously I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. The first song, the first hit that she had was in 85, Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge. Just a ton of, wow, incredible.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, incredible songwriter. Holy shit. Okay, please continue.
And that's one of those deep things. There's a bunch of Swedish songwriters that have written, male Swedish songwriters that have written a whole bunch of pop hits that have been done by so many different artists.
Oh, yeah.
That unless you know the producing side of music and you pay attention to that part of it, you don't realize that I like this song by this artist, and this one by this artist, and this one by this artist. I just must love pop music. No, you actually love this Swedish writer who wrote all of these songs. You like the way that guy writes music.
Yep.
And it's fun to look deep into that. And people will sometimes recognize directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, yeah, I'm a you know, Spielberg fan, or I'm a Scorsese fan. Don't be friends with those people, by the way. The Scorsese fans, just don't be friends with them. They're not worth your time. They'll not necessarily always realize that sometimes it's not just the director's vision. There's writers, there's producers. You then have those people who don't really care about the directors of a movie. They just see a movie and, you know, they see a trailer, they watch the movie, they love the movie. And then you can come, you know, if somebody like me with movies, you would be somebody that probably in the music, with the music knowledge, that would be able to see these connections too, that just the common consumer wouldn't see the connections of, again, behind the scenes people, producers, directors, writers, finding out that, you know, my wife, again, when we, in our first few years of being together, she would consume movies in a way that just, it looked like a fun movie, so she'd watch a movie. And I ended up finding out that, like, she was like a huge fan of Ron Howard. Like, for the longest time, anything Ron Howard directed,
oh wow,
of all people, anything Ron Howard directed, she loved the movie. It just made her completely fall in love with the movie. His way of moving the camera, his way of telling a story.
Yeah.
Loved Ron Howard. Also, she also loved anything by Michael Bay. And admittedly, Michael Bay, for whatever he is as a human being, his camera work is absolutely beautiful. He makes some of the most well-composed shots. It's noticing those little things. Well, what my wife had learned to, she hadn't learned to realize. I actually had to kind of point it out to her at one point. Television has similar circles where they'll have, instead of it being directors necessarily, it's production groups.
Mm-hmm.
And different production groups will make these multiple things, these multiple shows. And they'll have similar thematics. They'll sometimes share characters. But the themes and the way they tell their stories and the way they do things, even though they're completely different types of shows, they'll have the same feeling to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's been her, she's been going through a little bit of a journey realizing it. One of the producers that she seems to love the shows from is producer Shonda Rhimes, who her biggest show is Grey's Anatomy,
which I've
discussed on here before how much Grey's Anatomy I've watched in my lifetime. There's been a couple of offshoot shows from Grey's Anatomy. But she also was very, very big, well known for a big show called Scandal. It's about a,
I think I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Presidency, somebody who's a fixer, and it gets crazy, but
she's been
rewatching Scandal. She was rewatching Scandal recently. We were getting near the end of it over this week of me being in agony and pain and dealing with, you know, my teeth hurting, and I'm watching, it's espionage and spy stuff, you know, and I'm watching people getting tortured for information, and a realization hit me. And that realization is, I don't ever want to be a spy. I don't ever want to be given like top secret information. Like, secrets between friends is one thing, but like, I don't want to be given top secret information that is so secret that somebody might actually torture me for that shit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because I'm telling you right now, just from my experience of being, of getting like, getting numbing shots and having teeth removed, there's no way in hell I am letting anybody try to remove any teeth from me without numbing me.
Over here, man, with the concept of what you're talking about.
I'm not letting people like drill into me or cut off fingers or nothing like that. I'm literally the type of guy that like, we're going to torture you for information. I'm like, you don't need to torture me for shit. I will tell you everything. Whatever you want to know, I will fucking tell you. There's no
please,
torturing at all.
For the love of God, just do it.
Just I'll write it all down. I'll give you maps. I'll give you dates. I'll give you everything you want. Okay, no torture is necessary. I mean, just the fact that like I have had to, because of where the teeth were removed near the front of my mouth, so I can't bite down on anything. Like if you're eating a sandwich, right? You just grab a sandwich, you bite down, you pull a piece off, and you chew on the molars, right? You chew in the back of your mouth. I can't bite down on anything right now because I'm still sore all around the front of my mouth. So, like, what was it? Monday, we treated ourselves to, my wife, myself, and our oldest child were treated to some Subway. He loves Subway. It's one of his favorite places to go. I wasn't sure what to get, so I had to think, what would be the easiest Subway sandwich to be able to eat in my present condition? The condition is I have to cut up any food that I'm eating into small enough bites to literally deposit it on the side of my mouth, avoiding the front of my teeth. I ordered it's a new kind of variation on the meatball sub where they put pepperoni in it and fresh mozzarella. It's almost like having a pizza.
Pizza.
It's fantastic, but it took me like 25 minutes or so to eat this sandwich because I literally am cutting it into big enough pieces that I can just put right into the side of my mouth to eat.
Oh man.
Which, if anybody knows me, the biggest issue about me is the fact that I love food. I love consuming food. So that is all the torture you need to give to me, is to not give me access to food when I am hungry. You don't need to pull no teeth. You don't need to, you know, stick bamboo shoots underneath my nails. You don't need to, none of that. None of that needs to happen. Just tell me I can't have a burger when I want a burger, and I will tell you everything you want to know. That is if I don't kill you to get to my burger. One of the two things is going to happen. Which was a bit of a thing last night. Now, I did reveal to you Mike, I revealed to you last night about, I'd say about 5 minutes before it happened, what I was doing last night.
Yeah.
I got to do something really awesome last night.
Yeah. You did. I'm actually quite jealous.
I got to go to the theater, movie theater, to watch the 30th anniversary showing of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Dude, I didn't even know that that was happening this year. I mean, it makes sense because it was 92. So yeah, that's what it would be.
Yeah. It's 30th anniversary.
The fact that was shot in 92 too. Like it looks so good. It's still.
Well, now hold on a minute. I didn't get a chance to see it in the movie theater in 92 because I was young and it's an R-rated movie. There's enough boobs in that movie to make it so that it's R-rated. And there was no way in hell my parents were going to take me to that. I did trick my brother into taking me to see Cool World in the theater.
Shit.
Oh, yes. He was exceptionally embarrassed after taking me to see that in the movie theater.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How old were you when Cool World came out?
About the same age.
Oh, God.
I think.
Did it come out the same time?
You have to look it up, bro. I don't remember exactly. I just remember I went to the theater and my brother was embarrassed. My brother and his
fiance
at the time were embarrassed as hell.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, this is a movie that both.
Yeah, 92. That's when it came out. Same year as Tombstone.
There you go.
Yep.
This is a movie that myself and my wife both love equally, even though it is classified as a bit of a horror movie. I never saw it that much of a horror movie. It was a Dracula movie. And a good one to boot. It's told in the same style of the novel, which is the most amazing part, because the novel is just a bunch of collections of letters and journals and whatnot, and they tell it in that kind of a narrative, which is, it's so great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the original novel is written that way. So that conceit where it's, you know, Mina's letters and then Seward's journals from his, you know, treating patients and Jonathan's journal and letters, that's exactly how the novel is told.
Wow.
So revolutionary for the time that it was put out. But that's why that take on it by Coppola, very good take. Watching it now, there are some missing story beats that would be necessary, some exposition that should have been added that wasn't. They jumped in a few places where, you know, you have Van Helsing sitting down with Jonathan and Mina after Jonathan has come back from seeing, you know, being there in at Dracula's castle and already putting together that, yeah, this Dracula guy that he was there with is totally the vampire that killed Lucy and is ravaging London already. There should have been some more exposition to explain that and come to that conclusion instead of just automatically that's concluded that way.
Gotcha.
So there's a few beats in there, but to see this stuff on the big screen, the camera tricks that are done in that, which there's so many tricks done in camera, so much stuff that was really, really old school highbrow filmmaking done in this movie. The performances, even Keanu with his kind of questionable accent.
Yeah.
They did show after the movie a couple of deleted parts of scenes, and one of the things is Keanu's so serious in that because the only way he can pull off the English accent at all is being serious. If he gets funny or goofy in the slightest bit, the accent is absolutely terrible, even worse than what it is normally.
Okay.
There's a scene with him being more funny and lighthearted, and it's so cringe. It's awful to watch.
Oh, my God.
But
that's great.
Being able to see that in the big screen, the visuals are amazing. It's so beautiful. It's so well designed. But here's the thing. Like I said, I never really saw it as horror. I just saw it as a vampire movie, especially when I watched it when I was like 13, when it came out on video. And it's a vampire movie with boobs in it. I'm cool with that. And really cool vampire.
I kind of expect, when I watched it, I never got like, there were somewhat horror elements in it. But
there's
I never
a few jump scares.
Yeah, sort of, but it's not like, maybe it's not like classic horror, like slasher flick.
Well, no, see, here's the thing. It's not classic horror.
But it's a drama similar to... I consider it a drama similar to Frankenstein. It's a love story. It's a twisted as fuck love story, but it's a love story. Whereas Frankenstein is... It's a psychological thriller.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Now, you can replicate this at home if you have the right system set up.
Okay.
Watching it in the theater actually made me finally view this as a horror movie. Not a slasher horror
really?
Movie, but a horror movie. And the reason for it is, when Jonathan first arrives into Dracula's castle, if you're watching it from your TV, you hear a bunch of different weird noises and whatnot. Like there's sounds happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of muddled. When you're watching it in surround sound, the noises never stop, and they're moving all around you all
oh my
the
God.
Time. Like it's moving, like he's in this castle, and these noises are just happening all over the place all the time. It was freaky as hell with the sound design. The sound design was completely and utterly brilliant for the movie.
Holy shit.
Because it felt like in all those moments, any of the moments where there's any kind of weird otherworldly noises happening during like transformations or any of that, it's moving around you in such ways that you feel immersed in it as opposed to just watching it. And it was absolutely a totally different way of viewing the movie. And again, for the first time ever, it made it feel like it was a bit of a horror movie. Not totally horror, although the wife jumped like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, really? Aww. So,
yep. And this is a movie we've both seen so many times. She still jumped at it. So, yeah.
Dude. Ah, oh, okay. I wonder how long it's going to be out. Is it just this weekend? Was it just a single night showing?
It was one day.
Fuck, really? God damn it. Okay. That's stupid.
One day. Well, what was funny, though,
have to take a look and see if they'll do it next year, if they're doing it at another theater. Oh, man.
I was really glad that I went, because one, I was able to get, I do collect the weird collectible popcorn buckets that they always put out. Like, I have a Stormtrooper head. This one, it's a little early, but I still snagged one. It's for the new Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
It's I don't think you even saw the first Black Panther, but there's a giant carving of a Black Panther in the land of Wakanda, coming out of the side of a mountain, and there's vibranium inside the mountain. So this is the carving of the Panther with the reservoir for the popcorn behind it, and it's got a light that turns on in it so that it looks like it's glowing blue from the vibranium in there. So it's kind of cool. Sitting here on my desk a few feet, well, like foot away from me.
Nice.
But what was really cool is, as we're watching this, and the Cinemark theaters do these old movies that they bring back to show. This year they're going to bring back, they're going to show Smokey and the Bandit at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to try to drag my dad in to see Smokey and the Bandit. There was another one. I forget what the other one was that I was going to drag him in to see. Because I'd love to see Smokey and the Bandit on the big screen. That'd be amazing. But we were watching previews for the next few that they were going to bring out, and preview comes up, and all I see on the screen at first is the words Toho.
Toho.
Now you know what Toho means?
No.
Toho is a film company.
Okay.
From Japan.
Okay. Sounds like
now,
one.
In my world, Toho means one thing and one thing only.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. There goes Tokyo.
Ah.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Oh, so they're the ones behind the Godzilla films.
Yes. Toho is the originator of all of the Godzilla films.
Huh.
So if I see anything Toho, I know that there's going to be something Godzilla involved. And boy, howdy, is there. They are re-showing, in Japanese with English subtitles, the original Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Oh.
And so we see that, and my wife looks over at me. She goes, you need to find out when that's showing.
Yeah.
So I go to look it up. Guess what?
What?
Next Thursday.
No shit. So is it like next a Thursday? Do they just, is that what they do? Like Classic Film Thursday nights or something like that?
It's looking like that.
That's dope.
And so at the theater where you and I went and saw the Metallica thing.
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking about that one right there in Roosevelt off Blue Oaks.
So
I know right where that theater's at, man.
So right there, sitting there before my movie even started, right after I sent you pictures of our tickets, I had to go and secure myself and my son tickets to see Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Nice.
Because you got it. I sat through Shin Godzilla, which was one that was done about, 4 or 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which I sat through that. It was Japanese with subtitles. And it was actually more about Japanese governmental procedure during environmental disasters than it was about Godzilla. At least this one I know is going to be Godzilla and Mechagodzilla fighting it out. So,
right.
You know what I mean? But
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm headed off to there. But here's the fun part. I went and we went and grabbed a bite to eat right before we went to see the movie. My wife was asking, what's there around by there to eat? I'm like, well, there's Mel's. We ate at Mel's recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to sit for that long. I'm like, okay, there's Cipollini's pizza, but it's super thick pizza and I really don't want to try to eat that right now. She's like, okay. Finally, we settled on Carl's Jr. because it's right there in the parking mm-hmm. lot. Well, we get in there, and I'm like, what can I eat right now, not being able to take a bite of anything? I'm in Carl's Jr.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, God.
Now, it's a Carl's Jr. green burrito, so I'm looking at the burritos. I'm like, maybe I can figure out a burrito thing. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. Because literally, I had, Sunday, I had some Taco Bell, right?
Right.
Sunday, I had Taco Bell. This is like 2 days after, so I'm in the most pain probably at that point.
Oh.
And I end up with, because I had to get to Taco Bell because I had the nacho fries back, and I got to get me my nacho fries. But I had a box that had nacho fries in it and a chalupa in it. And I'm looking at this chalupa like, how the hell am I supposed to eat this damn chalupa? I'll tell you how I ate the chalupa. I got a steak knife and I cut it into pieces and ate it a piece at a time. I'm not even joking with you. So,
hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. It's cool, man.
You ain't going to stop me from eating. So I'm sitting in Carl's Jr. and I'm thinking to myself, man, I get chicken strips. I don't want chicken strips at Carl's Jr. I get the green burrito. I really don't feel like a green burrito. My wife, of course, orders a whatever burger that's got the barbecue sauce and bacon and onion rings on it. And I'm like,
Western bacon.
Oh, damn, that looks good.
Western bacon cheeseburger. That's one of my go-tos, man.
Well, I'm just thinking that looks good, and I'm like, screw it, it's a green burrito. So you know what that means? If it's a green burrito, they got knives and forks,
right?
And I'm like, I'll take that with no, I'll take same thing with no cheese, and I need a knife and fork. They look at me like, what? I'm like, I can't bite anything right now. I need the knife and fork. I'm like, okay, I'll tell you right now. I sat there at Carl's Jr. cutting up my hamburger with a plastic knife and fork so that I could eat a hamburger without having to try to bite down on it.
How was
plastic
it?
Plastic knife and fork. Honestly, to be completely honest, I think I may eat hamburgers that way all the time now.
Really?
It was actually really easy to manage getting all the topping pieces that you wanted in each individual bite.
All right.
But, it's if I have the opportunity to, it's a little goofy looking, but I'll tell you, it worked. my wife was sitting across from me kind of chuckling at me.
Hey, I mean.
And it's like, you're not going to stop me.
You got to get, I was going to say, you got to get it done. You got to get it done. You wanted a burger. You figured out how to eat a burger without, hurting yourself.
I mean, even though I had no teeth, I would figure out a way to eat a burger.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're not going to stop me from eating the burger.
Right. That's fair.
But anyway, yeah, that's the fun that can be had with dental surgery and whatnot.
Yeah. the last story that I could share is the one that, did I mention it on the podcast or no, I didn't. I don't think I mentioned it earlier. Like the last dental work that I had done was a while back. Like, I actually need to go back to the dentist really bad, but the last dental work that I had done was I had two wisdom teeth pulled out of my mouth. Mm-mm. Like, I still have my other two. I had two wisdom teeth pulled out of one side of my mouth. I've still got the other two because it was like it was a traumatic experience. It was not fun. I'm not even going to talk about things in detail.
Driving home with,
like,
the gauze in your mouth, right?
The gauze in my mouth, you know, shot up full of Novocaine, like half in shock, trying to figure out how to, like, emotionally process stuff. I had to, like, I couldn't speak. So what did I do? I had a notepad and I was telling my wife, like, how terrible I felt using a pad and a pen, a pad and a pen, you know, like, it's not,
No, I had the gauze in there, right? And the gauze is soaking with blood, right? It's also soaking with saliva.
We're getting
saliva.
Real gruesome. Like, warning, warning now. We're getting bad.
Yeah, it's soaking with blood, soaking with saliva. So you're trying to swallow the saliva, and it tastes of iron because you're bleeding still.
Right.
And you're, portions of your face are completely numb because they want you, you know, you're done, you get out of there because what are you going to do? Sit around and try to, you know, denumb yourself there? Nope, you're done. You go, and I'm trying to drive home. I'm so mad because I'm in so much pain. I didn't expect them to do as much as they did. One of them, it didn't feel like I was numbed at all. It hurt the entire time he was working on it.
Oh, I don't necessarily want to go through this much detail, man. You told me before the podcast. I don't want to hear it again.
But no, here's the thing, though. I'm driving home, and the grandmother, for some reason, she decides to call me to let me know she had a thing she was going to be going to on Saturday. She decided not to do it. She doesn't call my wife. She knew, by the way, I had a dental appointment. She doesn't call my wife. She calls me to let me know that she's not going to do it. So I've already sent a message to the wife. I'm on the way home. Don't call because I can't talk. I am in a lot of pain. And she's feeling
bad
because she recommended
this dentist.
She calls
you, and the first thing, I swear, please, please, you'd be like, screamed.
No, this one, I got the, you know, I'm in my car, so it's connected to the Bluetooth of my radio. My phone is right. So I'm driving, and a call comes through, and it's the grandmother. And so I'm worried that, like, the grandmother's calling me for something major, because why the hell is she calling me otherwise? So I push the button to answer the call, and this is, I'll do, you know, my normal voice will be the grandmother talking, and then I will do, I'll try to sound exactly how I sounded. So the thing comes up, tell me that it's, you know, the call's up. Oh, hi. Are you driving? You're not back from your appointment yet, are you? No. Okay, well, I'm just calling to let you know that I'm not going to be going tomorrow. I called and told them I'm not going to be going tomorrow. I'm omitting names here, obviously, and what she was going to do. But I called to tell them I'm not going to be going tomorrow. I'll talk to you when you get home. That's what I said. She understood it, apparently.
Did you gargle a little bit, too, the last one?
Huh?
Did you gargle a little bit, or was it just that internet breakup? I don't know, but it came out on the other side.
I think it might have been internet breakup, because the last one was just bah! Maybe it was a little throaty. I don't know.
Oh, no.
That's literally, I'm like, I can't talk, and you call me. Why?
Oh, why? No, that's not okay. Call? That's, yeah, that shouldn't happen.
But this is the funny part.
She knew you were the dentist, too. Like, she knew you were getting work done.
Well, and this is the funny part about the adulting of it. I mean, we've had, you see videos now where, you know, our generation and the generation slightly older than us have videoed their kids and put it on the internet when they bring their kids home from any kind of dental work, and their kids are half groggy and out of it and in pain, and put it up there for laughs and whatnot. But being like the adult in the situation, you have to do it all yourself. Although I will say, the last time my wife had major work done, they had to do, like, something big for her work, so they did, like, sedate her completely, and I had to drive her there and pick her up because put her out sedation.
Yeah.
That was a hilarious ride home. It was even more hilarious the next day because she did not remember any of it.
Oh, man.
So I won't, I did not film and I did not keep any, you know, record of it. That's for my amusement and my amusement alone. But, needless to say, I normally when I'm, there's some people, I guess you can equate it to when they're on any kind of, when they've had any kind of, anesthesia or anything like that, when they've had to do any of those things for stuff, they, sometimes they have similar reactions to when they're drinking. I can tell you, if I'm numbed up for anything, I'm usually angry. I'm uncomfortable. I am not funny or goofy. Like when I'm drunk, I'm funny and goofy typically.
Right.
I don't really get angry when I'm numbed up for something. I'm probably angry because I know that I'm going to be dealing with pain afterwards and I'm not okay with that. I'm already anticipating how much it's going to hurt once it's done. But yeah, We gotta do it ourselves now. We don't have mom and dad to take us back and forth. I guess mm-hmm. some of us do. There's some in our generation, some of the Zennials that still have mom and dad take them to all of those things. But
I mean, that's, and I honestly, like, really think about it. Like, I don't want to drive home doped up on anything. Like, even on Novocaine, I don't like it. Like, who knows whether or not I'm gonna end up feeling that in my fingers or something? I have no idea. There's a lot of like nerves and veins and stuff attached to that area. Imagine, like, you get a toothache, you feel it all the way in your head. Sometimes you feel it in your chest and in your arm. Like, yeah, why would you numb that part and then expect yourself to have full motor skills? I hate the fact that I drive home after going to the dentist.
There is that possibility of you driving and somebody, you know, other people driving erratically and you just not having the same reaction time that you usually do.
Man, it's a risk. So I don't blame anybody getting parents or partners vision. Or whoever to get them. Yeah, you should get somebody to drive you to the damn dentist if you're getting some surgery done.
And yet it isn't always an option, so sometimes you just have to do it yourself.
That I can understand that. It's not like you're gonna take a bus home, but you know, no. It's sometimes you can arrange to have it happen and sometimes you can't, and I understand that. But to those who have the ability, kudos to you, continue to do so because it's safer that way.
I would have been a sight if I was riding the bus on that day. That would have been a hell of a thing. Pieces of gauze sticking out of my mouth, blood flecked in the beard. He tried to. But
people leave you the fuck alone. That's for damn sure.
they're like, okay, crazy man with blood on his beard, wearing Crocs and carrying a purse. I'm staying the hell away from that dude.
Sounded like Chewbacca in the corner.
Yeah. I'm trying purposely not to sound like Chewbacca, more like how I sounded that day. I'm not even going to attempt a Chewbacca. That's one of the Star Wars things. There's so many people that love doing Chewbacca that are Star Wars fans. I do not do Chewbacca.
Do you just refuse to do so? Or you're like, is it something you wish you could do that you're just not necessarily good at? Or?
I don't feel I'm good enough at it. Okay. I'll give you a Wootini before I do. I'll do Jar Jar before I do Chewbacca. Okay. I'm not good at doing the Chewbacca. Probably for the same reason that I had trouble in Spanish class doing the double R's, where you had to roll your tongue for the double R's.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just, and especially right now, there's no way in hell I can do it right now. Because I have to watch, I'm having to change the way that I normally talk just slightly so that my tongue is not smacking the roof of my mouth right at the front of my mouth. So there's I notice it. I don't know how much you've noticed it. I told you to watch out for it during this specific recording because I notice that there's a slight lisp to some of the things I'm saying now.
It just could be getting filtered out. You honestly sound really good, man.
It wouldn't matter. I'd find it hilarious if the lisp was there and enough to hear. I hear it when I'm speaking right now, but that's just, you know, I'm used to it more. And, you know, again, I'm getting direct feed of it as opposed to being filtered through the internet.
I understand.
I wish it was more because I thought it would be hilarious. But, you know, that's... I've never been able to...
And then everybody listening right now starts to concentrate on James's potential lisp. And whether or not they could hear it.
Please
on air.
Listen to what I'm saying. Honestly, I'm not trying that hard.
Oh, God.
There is no God. Anyway. I think that's all we have for our update for today. I mean, obviously Halloween is again a couple of days away. We've done candy episodes before talking about those things. Honestly, I every year they come out with a new list of the top whatever candies, and they're basically the same crap over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves their peanut butter covered chocolate, their chocolate covered peanut butter, whatever. Either way, people love it. Everybody hates on my Necco wafers, so screw all of you.
And more Necco wafers for you.
Hey, I have a jar of Necco wafers still.
There you go. And you can get more of them on discount when Halloween's over.
Well, they're probably the reason why I just had a tooth ripped out of my head, so I probably should eat less of those. This time of year always kind of, I don't know, brings out those listy things. Oh, I guess I can comment on a new flavor that did come out. And, you know, again, time of year, new flavors for different things come out. Over the summer, we get the soda and the chip flavors, right? I still have some leftover gingerbread Mountain Dew from last year. Hopefully it's still good. It's been in the fridge. Maybe they'll bring that back out. But I sent you a picture of one of the newest Oreo flavors that just got released.
Yes, you did. And I am very curious.
Snickerdoodle.
Yes.
Okay, I have bad news for you.
Well, they're not good, are they?
Well, no, they're actually quite good.
Okay.
They just don't taste like Snickerdoodles.
They got a little bit of a
cinnamony taste to them, but they don't really taste like Snickerdoodles.
That's kind of disappointing.
But they're good. It was a little disappointing. I was hoping for like a real snickerdoodly taste because some of the other ones, you really get the taste shining through.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that, but they're still very good. They have a little bit of a cinnamony taste to them. They're still very, very good cookies. But yeah, I would not in good conscience call that a true snickerdoodle flavored cookie.
All right. That's fair.
But otherwise, I think that's what I have for the day. How about you, sir?
Anything
else you want to share?
I mean, I guess I think that's about it for me so far.
Well, I haven't informed Mike about this yet.
Hmm.
So, throwing him a curveball. We will be taking another 1 week off because I have now a movie I have to go see on Thursday. And I also have another thing I have to do on Friday night of next week.
Follow-up dentist appointment?
No. Well, I can mention that. I did actually see my dentist again on 2 days ago on Wednesday because I was worried that I was still in pain from having the work done. Worried maybe I was getting an infection because my sinuses were hurting. So I went to go see him again, be like, what the heck's going on here? First off, he assured me there was no infection. He looked and checked, saw nothing to show signs of infection. He did have me do a very weird test, though. He had me hold my nose closed, but try to blow air out through my nose.
Okay.
And then asked me if I felt any air in my mouth, specifically from where the molar was removed. Because apparently if there's the roots have grown in too far or there's specific issues, sometimes you can have an opening between your sinus cavities and the jaw where the molars are. And he was worried that maybe that's what I was feeling for the pain. And that was a possible issue because that would be a major issue.
Whoa.
Luckily, I did not have an air passageway between them.
You made me just try to do that, and I just blew my ears out a little bit.
Yeah, it should do that. That's exactly what it should do is go to the ears. It shouldn't go through, traverse down into your mouth. When I explained more to him that it was the front that hurt, he then explained the full process because at the time when I was... I was sitting there after he had done all the work and I was, last Friday and I had the gauze in my mouth and whatnot. The only thing I was able to do was motion enough for him to, actually I didn't even motion. I typed it into my phone. Can I have the teeth? And, that's when he's like, we normally don't give them to people, but sure. And he bagged them up for me.
I was going to say, I didn't get my, when my wisdom teeth were pulled, I didn't get them. I was just like, fuck them. I don't want to see them.
I asked. They're sitting there on the train. I'm sitting there waiting because he had done the top. He was going to do. I had one more. He was going to pull, but it was on the bottom. So he had done everything on the top. I'm sitting there with gauze in, trying to, you know, stem the bleeding as much as possible. And they're getting ready to shoot up. You know, having me rest for a minute before they shoot up my the bottom, because he knew I was having it was strenuous with the top.
Yeah,
I mean, I had tears running down my face. I'm gripping onto things. It was lots of pain. And I look over at the tray that's sitting there as I'm sitting waiting for him, and I see these pieces of tooth, and I'm like, I was like, can I grab them? Should I grab them? Am I going to get in trouble? And so when he came back, I'm like, I'm done for the day. I don't want to do the other one today. He's like, okay, I totally understand. Then I'm like, can I keep those? You know, typing all this into my phone. He's like, sure, yeah. We don't normally let people have them, but sure. Not a problem. He bagged him up for me. You know, go out to make another appointment. My appointment was for beginning of November, you know, 2 weeks away, an appointment. So when I saw him a couple days ago, and he's like, yeah, there's no infection. He explains how he had to cut into the gums and cut into the roof of my mouth and cut around this one tooth, the one that's the problem. And it kept breaking on him as he's pulling it out. And that's where all the pain was from. And I'm like, yeah, that was awful. He's like, yeah, you know what? Let's cancel your appointment. And we're going to wait till you're fully healed. And the reason, by the way, the reason you're not healed, this is one to heed. Okay. Zennials and or younger listening to this. And even anybody older, but specifically the ones that have not yet maybe had this set into them yet. Okay.
Okay.
If you've been fairly good about your diet, you didn't let yourself get over 300 pounds at, you know, 5'6". Have been good about not eating too much sugar and whatnot. And you are lucky enough to have not had been born with diabetes 1, but specifically get diabetes 2, mm-hmm. be from, again, having a poor diet. Keep it that way. Because here's the deal. When you're diabetic, you heal a lot slower. Especially yeah. if you are uncontrolled diabetic. Luckily, my sugars are in good control being a diabetic. But it doesn't matter because you can heal a lot slower. Hence what is probably happening to me, taking forever to heal.
God, that's terrible, so, man.
So yeah, don't become diabetic, dude. Stop eating all the sugar. This is gonna be my an interesting Halloween.
I was gonna say Halloween. The Halloween episode, the one that is coming out on Halloween, we're talking about you
don't
having
eat
your
the sugar.
Teeth removed. And
yeah, we're at that
as a
point.
Result of great. So a cautionary tale.
Yes, a cautionary tale. Keep your teeth. And don't get diabetes.
Don't get diabetes.
It's hey man, it's making it even worse. They go hand in hand. You know, cut out the sugar, your teeth will be better. No diabetes. Well, unless you have type 1, which you're born with, and you really can't say anything about that. That you have no effect on that one. Although, honestly, you even with a good diet, people can still get type 2. So
it can't happen still.
But anyway, that's the it's not a dental appointment. That is far off in the future. No, actually, I have a musical performance to go watch. So
oh, cool.
Which I will inform you about later.
Yeah.
So we will be taking another week off, but after that we will be back with more fun stories. Mike.
Yes.
Where can people hear about James's harrowing torture session? Mike's torture experience.
Yes.
And where will they find us when we come back?
Well, you can be listening to us on the ZennialChronicles.com or ZenCron.com if you don't want to type that much. You can also find us on most major podcast platforms. Go ahead and search for the Zennial Chronicles there. And also make sure that you're looking for us on YouTube as well. They have a podcast platform, and our podcasts upload in video format on YouTube. Search for the Zennial Chronicles there. Click on any one of those video podcasts that you see there. Have a listen. And if you enjoy it, make sure you hit the like button. And next to that, so the next time we have another one, make sure you hit the subscribe button. And then after that, there's something else to do, James. What is that?
Pull the tooth.
That's not what it is.
Thank God, because I don't want to do that again.
No.
click the bell.
Yes. Make sure you click the bell so that you get notified next to the subscribe button to make sure that you get notified for when we have another video or podcast or what have you out. And yeah, I believe that is it for me. What about you, sir?
While you're there, please make sure to check out Mike's other two YouTube pages. First one is Chronosode Games. This is a page that he does with his wife where they play video games. Originally, it was supposed to be in chronological order of the story, not in order of the release. Now it's just them playing video games, having fun, and Mike doing terribly at them.
Dude, okay, so in regard to that, I have spent the last 2 days, I had an error, a recording error, with one of our videos. I am not going to mention which video nor which game it's for. And I'm not going to mention when the video comes out. We've started, uploading videos again. We've got a couple of them that we did that were a Twitch stream, but I'm talking like we're finally continuing some of the games that we've taken about a year off break from, because we have recorded some of them and I am now in the finishing touches of uploading some of these videos. So we will eventually be relaunching with brand new videos, finishing those games, coming out with new ones. We're like, we're getting back in the swing of it, and we're super excited about it. But
Hold on.
Yeah.
Did you just do like a commercial for your other YouTube channel on this one?
I mean, all I did was add to what you said, really. So
good on you, sir. Good on you. Cross-pollinate.
Thank you so much. I actually had a recording error where our voices were recorded and the video game footage on video was recorded, but the audio was not. And it is a pivotal part of the playthrough, like heading into a very important portion. Like I said, I'm not going to say which game it is. I'm not going to say when it is, what episode it is, because I think I might be, well, I'm not necessarily pausing a challenge because we don't have like a prize or anything. So we don't have anything like that. We don't have that kind of budget, man. But, I would be hard pressed to find somebody who will fully know which episode it is and lets me know. But I had to meticulously go through the game footage itself and post-produce the audio from said game. I have been doing it so far for 2 days and I'm still not complete on this 30-minute episode where I have to reinsert the game's sound effects to make it cohesively work with the video footage so that it's still an enjoyable video. I have to manually replace all the audio in it. And it is a bitch. It really is not easy to do.
I'm going to say you should announce that whoever can figure out where it is and is accurate with it, mm-hmm. we'll just continually, during this whole thing we do at the end of the podcast, and mm-hmm. maybe what you got, whatever your sign off is mm-hmm. for Chronosode Games. Mm-hmm. For like, you know, so many months or whatever, that person gets a shout out every time. Maybe that's something.
Maybe
we'll work.
Something out. Like, I don't necessarily want to put that on the air, but yeah, I'm not committing to anything yet. But I do like where you're going. I do like where you're going, James. I will say that.
If you figure it out and you comment on Xenial Chronicles stuff, I will say your name. Let's put it that way. I'll do that at least.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, there we go. That's cross-pollination right there. So to anybody who's listening to the Xenial Chronicles right now, if you find out when it comes out, I'm not going to say when, I'm not going to say which episode, and I'm not going to say which game, but I am going to say that if you find out and you let us know what it is, we will remember and we will give you a shout out here.
I'll shout out your name many, many, many times in many, many places.
Dude, probably, that's some evil-eyed stuff, man. Probably to make fun of
you, but that's, you know, that's what we do. and then finally, since we took a diversion there, finally, check out Mike's Ruling Note Music. This is Mike's other YouTube page where he basically just talks about all things music-related. Check out both of those. Like, follow, subscribe, click the bells, whichever things you need to do. Give yourself some extra entertainment. And again, as he just said, Chronosode Games is getting back rolling. Going to have a bunch of content coming out. Give you fun things to watch while you're, you know, sitting at home doing nothing else or watching shows with your significant other that you don't really enjoy. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again in 2 weeks.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues
in 2 weeks.